I saw him read. I've seen his band play many a time. I've seen him read a few times, and every time it's a wonderful experience. And I've been trying to bring him here since midsummer, so I'm finally glad he's been able to do this. He brought me to tears once, and that's not a weird cocaine fueled joke. That's the truth. So live up to that, asshole. Sorry. No, he's a great man. That's about it. We'll plug him afterwards. But ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention to Josh Dumas. Dumas, what do you prefer? Either is fine. Josh, either is fine. What a dad joke. Yes, feel free to clap. The bar will remain open. Please clap for Josh.
Like that? Yeah. Okay. Hello. I'd really quick like to thank Brandon. I've been sputtering melodrama for a few years, and he kindly invites me to continue to read. And strangers, thank you for your patience. The other readers, thank you for sharing the stage. This piece is called Some Very Long Walks in Very Small Shoes. From 2006 until mid-2009, I owned two pair of what any tasteful, urbane person would consider fine, formal footwear. The first pair was a gift. My friend was moving out of town and was trying to reduce his shoe collection. They were gorgeous, candy apple loafers with a small heel, a slight elven upturn at the toe, visible burgundy stitching, and a kind of a glint on the leather. There were these perfect scuffs that suggested their age and use, and a kind of gentle inconsistency in the lines that betrayed the hands of the cobbler that crafted them. These shoes were fine art, delicate, graceful, vibrant, and at least one or two sizes too small for me. The other nice pair of shoes I had were black and pretty boring and even smaller. From 2006 until mid-2009, I was in a life-changing romantic relationship with a brilliant and beautiful person. Whitney played the viola and the accordion. She was getting her master's at the University of Chicago. She read Sontag and Foucault for pleasure. She's tall, with quiet freckles and bright blue eyes and auburn hair and lovely eyelashes. But she was a little tough, stubborn, and curious. Possessing that fairly rare quality of someone who is kind of always present, always engaged. And we were in love pretty good, I think, racing from bars to galleries to basement rock shows to parties to symphonies to soul night, cab stand Indian dinners, books lent back and forth, stealing kisses in alleyways, playing songs together, wearing ridiculous clothes and holding hands on the bus. Do keep in mind, I was young then and handsome. Try to picture that. And believe me when I say we were kind of fabulous together. A little shabby, a little nerdy, always broke and a little drunk. But mostly kind of fabulous. We were a going out couple. I think in the 3 years we were together, we did the stay in and watch a movie maybe once. And it was The Maids by Jean Genet, which is not, I mean, anyway, never mind. So we're a going out couple, and we often dressed to go out. Three-piece suits, full-length gowns. She would wear heels, and I would wear my dress shoes. So all this is to say that as our love blossom and grew with equal intensity and concurrently did the blisters on my feet. For Whitney's birthday, I got us tickets to the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. I was feeling rather proud of myself. Finding a gift for a genius that you're in love with is really tough. But I was sure this was going to be a winner. So we went out to dinner, and I surprised her with the tickets, and we trooped downtown. I was wearing the very small black shoes that night. At Orchestra Hall, I handed the tickets to the usher, and with a swell of self-importance, because I had gotten this, you know, terrific gift for this genius that I was in love with. And the usher indicated that we needed to go up a flight or two of stairs to get to our section. And so we went up, another flight of stairs, to the next balcony. To the next balcony. Four chagrin consultations with CSO staff, and 522 steps later, we found our seats. In the very last row, hard stage right, basically as far as two young lovers could possibly be from the performers when one has purchased these seats with now shame-faced pride as a surprise present for the other. And one of those young lovers now surely has bunions. I planned a secret adventure for us. I pored over websites. I called someone at the city. I talked to the government documents librarian at the university where I work. And eventually I uncovered the location of the oldest living indigenous tree in the city of Chicago. It's a bur oak. It's in Hyde Park on the Midway Plaisance. And it's over 250 years old. It was a windy and cold November night. I didn't tell Whitney where we were going, and though I had a sense of where our tree was, I had actually only seen it in pictures, and had kind of estimated its location by cross-referencing all these old park maps and Google satellite imagery. This was, it turns out, a terrible plan. We walked up and down the parkway, which, just so you know, looks so much smaller in satellite imagery than it does when you're in real life walking it. And we're checking out different trees, and the moon is impossible and large. And the green slant light of the street lights are ghosting the landscape, the crisp shadows from the leafless branches, and everything's moaning with the wind of the lake. And it was still very cold. But we found our tree, and it was crinkled and twisty and beautiful. And we stood near it, put our hands upon it, traced lines in its bark in the moonlight together. I looked up at Whitney, and she said, are you crying? And I don't think I have ever felt as truly loved as in that single moment, realizing that Whitney actually thought that my heart was so lovely that I might weep to be near this old tree. Of course, my heart is not that lovely. It's true, my eyes were watering in that moment, but it was because the tiny red shoes I was wearing had torn a fierceness through my Achilles. In the spring of this year, we took a weekend trip to Milwaukee. We stayed in a fancy hotel and visited that amazing art museum by the lake. It has these wings that open like a child pretending to wake up. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Have you been to this place? It's incredible. We walked all around downtown, and we had delicious food and amazing beer. We had been in a bit of a rough patch, and had thought that, you know, a weekend away might do us some good. And it totally did. We had a wonderful time smooching on the river path, looking at these lovely paintings, and just walking, spending quiet time together. On Sunday, on our way back home, we crisscrossed the city and through kind of the southern suburbs of Milwaukee, dropping into thrift stores and into, you know, old antique stores. I bought this old radio and this really, really nice Art Deco alarm clock, and I found a pair of shoes, the shoes that I'm wearing tonight, these shoes. They're from the 1940s, and they were only $30, and they actually fit really well. They're quite comfortable. And then a month later, we broke up. I have a convoluted 16th century medical explanation that involves like the length of her eyelashes and the size of my feet and leeches. Or maybe a 20th century images theory that involves old trees and broken radios and clocks that have run out of time. But I think we've gotten far. We've gotten to know each other well enough that we all can see clearly that I am an 18th century romantic. And a romantic's understanding of metaphor and physiology is simple. In my very roomy new shoes, the blood flowed down to my once compressed feet, leaving not nearly enough for my heart. And so in these shoes, I'm a runner now, a sprinter. I can really cook. Olympic in wingtips, like a ghost, like a skiff on still waters. I really move. In these shoes, I'm a dancer. I'm graceful now. Souls gliding, fleet of foot, but heavy of heart. Like most lessons, I've learned this one too late. Mine was a better life, however hobbled, walking with Whitney. Better at least than this running, this dancing alone. Thanks.
Josh Dumas, everybody. I am so glad my girlfriend isn't here. She's in class right now. I would look like such an asshole compared to you. Oh, man, you write about her so well. And all I can think about is the delightful meal she cooks and how we have a relatively equal drinking habit. You're a poet and I'm Dan Connor is really what I'm trying to say here. But don't get me wrong. I love Dan Connor, and I'm, and this is going to sound very cheesy. I had a good friend on the podcast last week, and people like you and people like him really make me glad I do this. And now let me get dirty. Okay.